A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper, and had said, "Master, who is the one who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is that of yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him he would not die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is that of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things, and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did. But if they were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would be able to contain the books that would have to be written. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel contains, I think, a pretty important teaching for us on the need that we have to be firmly rooted in what the Lord is doing in our own life. You know, in 12-step programs, there's a saying that's frequent, that to compare is to despair. And one of the backgrounds of that statement is that one of the background issues frequently, not all the time, but frequently in terms of addiction is a lack of self-esteem. You know, a person, is clearly struggling with, I think, a sense of their own dignity and their own worth because of their addiction, and they tend to compare themselves to others. And that lack of self-esteem and that kind of despair about themselves leads them into self-destructive behaviors, you see. And so frequently, again, the statement is made in 12-step meetings, and I've been a frequent attender at Al-Anon meetings over the years of my life. Is to compare is to despair. In other words, I really have no business comparing myself to someone else. Why are they thinner than I am? Why are they more talented or more articulate? Or, I guess sometimes, you know, again, we also have the other problem where I'm better than they are. And we do this. We compare and contrast ourselves to others. And the bottom line is we have no business doing that. And it leads to all kinds of trouble. You've got this situation where Peter is struggling. Peter, remember yesterday in the dialogue with Jesus and Peter, there was Peter, do you love me? And yes, Lord, you know that I love you, and so on. And again, I tried to show you then that doesn't work very well in English, and that the Lord is really asking for a very, very high form of love called agape love. And Peter is finally being honest, and he says, I really can't give you that. I'll give you what we call brotherly love. He says, he doesn't say, Peter doesn't say, I love you with agape love. He says, I love you with brotherly love. So Peter is struggling, but the Lord promised him that one day, Peter, you'll be able to love me with agape love. One day when you're led off to where you don't want to go, to die a martyr's death, one day you'll finally be able to say, Lord, I love you above all things, above all people, for your own sake, completely, totally, with agape love. One day that will happen for Peter. And it will take a martyr's death to really bring him to that point. And I think it's a very, very poignant moment between Jesus and Peter. And Peter kind of spoils it because he looks into the distance and he sees John. Probably John. It's called the beloved disciple here, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But he sees John, and John, he says, what about him? And the Lord basically says, none of your business. Don't compare yourself to him, and don't wonder about him. You know, take care of your own business and focus on yourself, Peter. If I don't need for him to die a martyr's death, that's between he and I, and it's no concern of yours, you see. And that's the basic response of Jesus. He simply says, follow me, and to Peter. Now, who is this beloved disciple, you see? Of course, the person writing this, namely John, the apostle, basically says, I'm that beloved disciple. But brothers and sisters, I want to ask you to ponder with me that another way of answering that question, who is the beloved disciple? Who is the disciple whom Jesus loves? If you're prepared to accept it, it's you. You see, the only one who ever says that this was the disciple whom Jesus loved is John himself. You won't find any of the other gospel accounts ever referring to John that way. Only John refers to himself that way. That I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. You see, and therefore, it's not as though Jesus was playing favorites or something, but what John is saying is, I am loved by God, you see. And so profound and so real is that in my life, that I'm prepared to simply describe myself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. And again, I ask you, if you're prepared to accept it, who is that disciple? Is it just John? No, it's you and me as well. If you're prepared to accept it, the disciple whom Jesus loves is you. And if that experience of love is so real and so profound that you don't need to worry about what's going on with someone else. Why are they, you know, prettier? Why are they more handsome? Why am I fat and they're thin? Or, you know, whatever. You see, you know, one of the reasons that you might answer the question, why am I fat, is that maybe God loves fat people, you see. I mean, so we've got a situation where we have to begin to learn to accept ourselves as God has made us. We may not be as thin as someone, or as articulate, or as in some way smart, or they may have some talents we don't have. And yet, for us to look with envy or jealousy and say, why am I not like that? Well, you're not like that because God made you in a very particular way, because there's something about you in particular that He loves. He didn't make you like someone else. He made you like yourself, because that's what He loves. There's an old story about Rabbi Eliezer. And Eliezer says, you know, he says, all my life I've been saying, why, Eliezer, why are you not more like David? Why are you not more like, why are you not more like Moses? Moses was a great man. And one day I think that I will go before God, and God will say to me, Eliezer, why are you not more like Eliezer? So we've got the situation where why not be like yourself? Now, one final thing I want to say is to make a distinction. You know, we all went through the silly 70s. And the silly 70s said, you know, God loves me just the way I am. You know, it was kind of this, you know, so like so many things in the silly 70s, part of it was true, but there needed to be some distinctions made. Now, clearly, God loves us as He has made us, you see. But sadly, brothers and sisters, our sin has disfigured us, and therefore we should not and cannot say that God loves my sin or the disfigurement that has been caused in me by my sin. You know, any more than a mother who loves her child dearly would love the fact that a child had lost her right arm or something, you know. That is not to be loved, but rather, you see, God loves us as individuals, the individual He made with the qualities He gave us. That God loves. It is not true to say, God loves me just the way I am, if just the way I am includes my sin. You see, God loves us too much to allow us to stay in our sins. But He did make us unique, special, irrepeatable, glorious, with certain gifts and a combination of gifts that only we have. To compare ourselves to someone else like Peter is doing here, or to contrast ourselves, or to be resentful because I am not like someone else, or someone else seems to have a nicer life than I do. Of course, we don't really know that, right? But to do that is to completely miss the point of why we were made. God made us for a particular purpose. God has something special to do for us to get us ready for glory, and we cannot and should not compare ourselves to others. So again, to compare is to despair. And here Peter is struggling. You say, I have to suffer and struggle and all of this. How come he doesn't have to? And of course, who knows what struggles John had, you know. For Peter to simply suggest that somehow John wasn't going to have to struggle, how does he know, you see? But in the end, we do that, don't we? And the Lord is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. You be you. Be the one I made. Learn and come to discover the man, the woman that I made you to be. See? And then become what you are. Become what I've made you to be. That is your glory. Do not compare yourself to anyone else. Amen.